TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
Good evening, and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including in-school issues and addictions. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, for an inpatient or outpatient program, they may want to go to a parenting group. Feel free to give them our confidential number. Our number is 718-758-0400. We're coming up to the end of the school year. After Pesach, parents start to look for different schools for some of their children. We have a yeshiva liaison available. Again, if you need to get a referral or speak to our yeshiva liaison, feel free to give us a call. Maybe you want to jot down our number for yourself, a loved one, maybe a neighbor or someone you would sit next to, usually in shul. Our number is 718-758-0400. So we're coming up to Pesach, and people get very stressed around the holiday seasons often. So we are talking about Hakol Beseder, and that is de-stressing your family in time of Pesach. And I am so honored to have on tonight with us Rabbi Dr. David Fox, who's the director of Project Chai, the Crisis Intervention Trauma and Bereavement Department of Chai Lifeline. I'd like to welcome you on tonight. How are you, Dr. Fox?
Thank you. Thank God I am doing well from here in Los Angeles. And it's wonderful to connect with you. Your work is such a vital part of the mental hygiene and the mental health of our Jewish world. And it's really exciting to be able to have this interview. And I commend you, as does all of Chai Lifeline, for the service that you provide our world.
Thank you. You, of course, with my wonderful staff. Thank you. So it's always nice speaking with you and spending time with you when we're at the Nefesh Conference, you and your lovely Rebbetzin. So we miss you and her this year, not having a Nefesh Conference, and hope to be able to rejoin again in the coming year. Meanwhile, let's talk about Pesach. Holidays in general can be very stressful for some people and not joyful. And I'm wondering if you could share with our listeners tonight why it is that way for many.
Sure. And I'll actually cite a global statistic that goes back some while. There were some studies looking at what are the times of year in the world in general where we have psychiatric hospital admissions on the rise. And interestingly, in the general world, it's during their holiday seasons. And there are a few hypotheses about why this is, but something that seems to hold true, an unpleasant holiday experience, the more tense people get and the less they look forward to it. And so in general, there is stress associated with the holiday in the preparation, but also that is shaped by what each individual's past history with Yomim Tovim has been.
So let's talk about what contributes to the stress at this time of year, the Pesach season especially.
So let's take specifically Pesach, because for many people, this on the one hand can be the most fulfilling holiday celebration, because so much is focused at sitting at the family table and sharing and eating and talking and studying. But on the other hand, it's the most arduous, objectively pressured of the Jewish holidays because, you know, we prepare weeks in advance and there's cleaning and there's cooking and there's purchasing. And there are restrictions and there are prohibitions and there are limits. And any time there's a change in our familiar routine, any time our typical schedule is set aside and is altered, that is stress. Even if it's good stress, even if it's the type of undertaking that we're looking forward to. But the reality is our routines, our schedules, our structures get altered. And when that happens, that shakes our mental hygiene. Built into Pesach are all of those affronts, if you will, to that which is familiar and safe and comfortable to us. That escalates stress. I have to add to that, that during this 12 months of pandemic, wherever you and your community are up to, whether you're still masking, whether you're still social distancing, whatever it is, but we have absorbed an entire year of changes in routine, setbacks in our schedule, and it is very, very normal for people to struggle. It's not normal not to be impacted at all by the stresses of the pandemic. And this is now coalescing with the preparation we need to do for Yom Tov of Pesach. And what we're seeing clinically is people are feeling the tension rise.
Absolutely. What role could parents take in reducing the family stress around holidays, and in particular, Pesach?
So, such a vital question. Let me give conceptual ideas, and then let me give you some practical ideas. Conceptually, what I am saying to parents is that the way that you deal with stress, and in this instance, the stresses of being an observant Jewish adult, the way that you deal with your stresses is going to serve as a model for your children the rest of their lives for how a mature, God-fearing, mitzvah-observing Jewish adult faces challenge. And those parents who transcend the stress and remain composed and remain communicative and remain inclusive so that the family does feel cohesive, they're sending a wholesome mental hygiene message to their children. That this is the joy with which we meet the challenge. On the other hand, those for whom personal distress leaves them irritable or leaves them moody or leaves them apprehensive and anxious, and all of the emotional fallout from not being able to deal with the challenges of the holiday, what you end up doing is modeling for your children just the opposite message that you want them to have about being that God-fearing, Torah-observing, mitzvah-keeping person. So conceptually, that's something to have in mind. Now, at a more practical level, what can parents do? What parents can do is, as much as possible, those mental hygiene components of maintaining routine and having a normal schedule and giving structure to our home life, when we can get past the preparation and the purchasing and the cleaning and the cooking and all that, and make sure that we give time to connect with our kids. They need to see that despite all of the headache and the chaos, we're there for them. We listen to them. We talk with them. We connect with them so that they don't feel that in the weeks prior to Yontif, we're absentee because we're too busy. They're going to pick up our frustrations. They're going to pick up our preoccupations. What we need to do is keep in our family routine the time to connect, the time to wind down, the time to be there for our kids as parents and to connect. That means communicating. That means encouraging. That means spinning the outlook for Yontif so that it looks fun, positive, and cheerful. So be a loving parent, give your child time, speak with them, and gift wrap all of the stress of preparing for Yontif with the idea that inside this package, we're going to have enjoyable Siddur.
So you mentioned mental hygiene, Dr. Fox. Could you elaborate on the mental hygiene issue, which, like you said, COVID-related and COVID-not-related, Pesach could be difficult, the preparations, the shopping, the cooking, the separate kitchen, the separate dishes for many. You know, they have a separate kitchen for many, they don't. But there's a lot of mental hygiene issues that, you know, get affected during this time, both from parents' point of view and, like you said, from the children. So married kids as well. So let's touch on mental hygiene, please.
Sure. And mental hygiene is a concept which I have been pitching and pushing throughout this pandemic, because we're so accustomed to speaking about mental health issues, which means when we're not doing well, when we're suffering. And in contrast, the notion of mental hygiene are the steps that we take to promote our resilience, to feel better, to invest in relationships, and to be attentive to ourselves so that we have a handle on our stress. We have a handle on our worry or our sadness. So the mental hygiene is sort of like Purell for the brain. The things you're doing not to repair and to detox it, but the things that you're doing to keep your brain supple and resilient. So the pillars for that, as I said, maintaining a routine and keeping to your schedule, which means the things that you normally do them at the times you normally do them. So, for example, if you're housebound and you're quarantined, get up at the same time you're accustomed to and get dressed. Those are simple routines, but those are the types of steps which maintain a sense that I can cope and that I can deal with this. So routine is important. Schedule is important. And then structure, which means that I have strewn or sprinkled throughout my day work time, relax time, fun time, spiritual time. But I'm structuring into my morning, my afternoon, and my evening a variety of activities that are going to keep all different parts of myself stimulated and engaged. My creativity is important. My laughter is important. My ability to have deep talks or serious discussions with people who need that from me. But routine, schedule, and structure are the foundations for mental hygiene. Another foundation that we can all look at and work on and practice is self-awareness, which means listen to your feelings, be attentive to your thoughts, do some self-scan and look at how you're doing physically. Be mindful of what's going on in your thinking, what's going on in your heart emotionally, how are you acting, what's going on for you spiritually, how are you dealing physically. And people can self-scan those different dimensions of self so that if you're recognizing that there's a part of you that's escalating, that's not doing well, you take the steps to remedy it. And the same thing goes for your children. Give them the green light, the open door to talk with you if they're not feeling good, or if they're burdened by thoughts, or they're mindful that they're having stresses, or they're struggling religiously, whatever's going on, pandemic related or just life in general related, give yourself an opportunity to be self-aware, promote that in your children, and talk with them about it. Talk with each other about how are we doing as a family? How are we doing as individuals? Listen to your kids non-critically, non-judgmentally. If they're crutching, if they're griping, if something's on their mind and they share it with you, validate it. Listen to them. Don't be so quick to tell them a remedy. They'll be much more receptive to your recommendations if they know that you care, and they'll know that you care if you listen. So these are all the tools for promoting mental hygiene in the family. We're listening to ourselves. We're listening to one another. We're giving each other the gift of time and discussion. And we're looking as a family for remedies and solutions to make this joyous time happy rather than to make it a time of family chaos.
What about the married couples? Move in to parents, parents move in to married couples. And what suggestions do you have to generate some positive perspectives at home?
You know, the Mishnah tells us that one of the blessings, one of the sacred high points of going for the Regalim, going up to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tov such as Pesach, is that no one ever said, my space is too cramped. Everyone found a way to just adapt to their environment. Now, we don't always have that bracha nowadays. That was something peculiar to the times of the Beis HaMikdash. However, we have to do that future scan. We have to be anticipating that what are the types of hardships that my visiting adult kids and their children might experience in my house. Is it going to be space related? Is it going to be noise related? Do they need places to play? And I don't allow that in my living room. But we do have to anticipate what are the possible risks for discontent in the home when we're bringing guests and we're bringing family in, and planning ahead either to make adaptive changes so that the house can tolerate the influx of children and their parents, our kids, our married kids, or what internal adaptations do I need to make as a Zaidi or as a Shver? What internal adaptations do I need to make anticipating in advance what might they have difficulty dealing with in my home? And then I'm going to make my decision in advance that I'm not going to address this unless certain things go wrong. I'm going to look the other way. I'm going to go out of my way to stay composed. What I find is that if parents, and I prescribe this in my treatment practice and therapy, that what I find is that if parents are mindful of the things that traditionally go wrong on Yom Tov, and they discuss them in advance, and they problem solve in advance, what are some steps we can take to circumvent that routine irritant? And we both resolve as husband and wife, or as mother and father, that this Pesach, we're going to support each other, we're going to take extra steps to help the other one cope better, and we're going to make a pact of simcha. I actually find that putting it into words as a verbal pact in advance, it does insulate them quite well when the inevitable stresses arise.
So we have with us Rabbi Dr. David Fox from California, who's a clinical psychologist, professor, and the director of Project Chai, Crisis Intervention, Trauma, and Bereavement Department, Chai Lifeline. And anyone that would like to speak to Rabbi Dr. Fox, please contact Mask Office, and you can email us at info@maskparents.org. Dr. Fox, can religion play a role in reducing family stress?
So let's differentiate religion and spirituality. And religion is the behavior, the things that we do, the rituals, the practices. And spiritually is what's going on deeper inside of us as we do those things. So definitely religious practice, routines, rituals, those can give a family a sense of structure. We know in advance what we're going to do. And there can be a de-stressing quality when we know the practices and we engage in them as a family. And that can help structure a lot of the internal stress because we are engaged in a behavior where we know what to expect. So yes, religion, so to speak, or at least the religious practices can help people contain stress. But the second component, namely the spirituality, what's going inside of me subjectively, and that what that means is, am I having thoughts about Hashem? Do I have a concept and a consciousness about Hashem? Is the sense of dvekus, of serving him and learning to feel that he's part of my life, is that important to me? So that spiritual sense where I have faith, I have trust, I have hopefulness, that I actually look for ways to align myself with what we're going to call Ratzon Hashem, that is the Jewish form of spirituality. It's for accompanying our religious practices, but it's also something that we want to permeate our consciousness lots of the time. That can help people lower blood pressure, believe it or not, and perspire less and itch less, meaning there are a whole variety of somatic or physiological reactions which a spiritual countenance can reduce. And definitely, it lowers anxiety. It gives meaning when we're feeling sad. It helps people feel taken care of and nurtured and supported. So spirituality definitely can be one of the tools to help insulate families from stress, with the caveat, with the stipulation that parents have open, healthy discussions with their children about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't expect our kids to be spiritual unless we help guide them on that path. And we guide them on that path by talking with them. We talk with them about our faith in loving terms. We don't model for them that the Pesach Seder is high pressure, but we speak lovingly and with healthy anticipation. And we talk about this time of year beginning to feel like we went out of Mitzrayim, which is exactly what the Haggadah says. If we approach the spiritual part of our religious practice with enthusiasm and with fervor, and we convey it in an idiom, in a language that kids can relate to. So yes, the religious and the spiritual aspects of keeping Yom Tov Pesach will reduce family stress and will promote harmony.
I have one last question. I'm wondering if you can give some chizuk support to the parents that are listening whose children are struggling with religion in general. They're on their own path, and it's very difficult to have a child that comes in who may not be interested in sitting at the whole Seder, may not be interested in helping before Pesach to clean and shop or do the chores. What chizuks can you offer to those parents that may be listening?
Yeah, it's a powerful reality. This is one of the many challenges of our lifetime. and what we want to avoid with all of our children of all situations is imparting to them any negative message about keeping the mitzvah or observing the siddurim and the halachas. If we package it to them as something that's a stressful burden, or it's not a time where we feel comfortable together, or we don't like having to do these things, if we present the Yom Tov as a burden and a chore, there's no turn on, and there's definitely a turn off. If we have the ability to show that we are invested in this, it has purpose for us, we get some comfort and some joy from this. It doesn't mean that we have to say to that child, you need to feel the same way, because that won't work. But we can model to them a positivity and a calm. This is not the time that you're going to discipline or judge or alter your child's course if they're struggling. However, you can plant a memory, you can install some of your enthusiasm if they see that you look forward to the Yontif and you don't view it as a time of stress. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ashrei Adam, Oz Lo Bach, fortunate are people who find their strength through God. And then David HaMelech wisely says, Mesilos Bilvavam, each one has a different path to his or to her heart. And opening up the heart, your heart as a parent, so that Yom Tov is memorable for the nice experience, this might help open up the heart of the child who struggles.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Fatz. It's always wonderful speaking with you. It's an honor to have you on tonight. And I want to wish you and all my listeners a very, very uplifting, stress-free Seder this year with your members. Thank you, Dr. Fox.
And thank you, Ruham. It's always lovely to connect with you. And in a season where we're praying that we can take off our masks, let's all of us recognize and appreciate that the one mask that we're going to keep around is your organization, for all of the good that it does for so many families and people.
Amen. Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisroel. Please go online and consider donating to maskparents.org so we can continue with our programs and shows and have these wonderful guests on. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
When it comes to Pesach, nothing but the best in quality and kashrus will do for your Seder and Yom Tov meals. For the last 60 years, Marvit Kosher Poultry has been providing the cleanest, finest, and tastiest chickens, turkeys, ducks, and Cornish hens for discriminating kosher consumers. Marvit also has the most kosher supervision, including the OU, MK, Hisachdus, and COR as well. So, this Yom Tov, make sure Marvit is on your family's table. Available at the finest kosher supermarkets. A Chag Kosher V'Sameach from Marvit Poultry. Ancient tradition, today's taste.
ShopRite on McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn at Avenue I is the place to go for all your shopping needs and Passover favorites. Your Price Plus card saves you more every day all year long. ShopRite of McDonald Avenue is open daily for your convenience. A happy and joyous Passover from ShopRite of McDonald Avenue and Avenue I in Brooklyn.
No matter how much we want it gone, COVID-19 is still here. That's why we all need to keep wearing our face coverings, keep physical distancing, and keep washing our hands. And as always, stay at home if you're feeling sick. The COVID-19 vaccine is available to certain groups in NYC, but now is not the time to stop protecting ourselves. Learn more at nyc.gov/health/coronavirus.